Our text this evening will come from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And our sermon text will be verses 14 through 19. However, for the sake of context, we will read the entirety of the chapter. And now, congregation, hear the voice of your beloved. Please stand, if you are able, at the reading of God's word. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, Father, take this word, this joyous word, and make us joyous in it. Fill us indeed with thy fullness. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Last night, we heard that the word of God is the voice of our beloved. That he calls us, he offers himself unto us for our salvation and to enjoy sweet communion with him. We focused on the person of Christ. This morning, we heard of the work of Christ reconciling us to God, though we were enemies, dead in trespasses and sins, at enmity against God. But Jesus Christ came down, took on him a human nature, and he was made sin, though he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then, we, basking in that reconciliation that's been wrought for us by the blood of Jesus Christ, we came to that table that is a sign and a seal of the reconciliation that we have with God through Jesus Christ. And in that table, we were fed the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, not carnally, but after a spiritual manner. And now, We come to consider, what has all this been about? What's all the hubbub? What's Phoenix RPC doing with all these services? Is it to take up all your time so you don't have time for Little League? No. It's so that you will be filled with all the fullness of God, all of His bounty, all of His love, that you might know its depth and its height and its width. You see, we're going to see what the end and the purpose of gospel ministry is. Our theme this evening is enjoying the fullness of the love of God in Christ Jesus. I've summarized the doctrine that our text contains in verses 14 through 19 as follows. That the goal of the ministry of the word and sacrament is not only the conversion of the church to deliver her from hell and suffering, but also to deliver her to the enjoyment of the fullness of the love of God in Christ. Do you hear that, church? Your salvation is not only a deliverance from something, it's also a deliverance to something. You're not just saved from hell, you're saved to the enjoyment of God. And that's the purpose of the preaching of the word. That's the purpose of the administration of the sacraments. From this doctrine, we will see that we must see salvation not merely as deliverance from hell, but also deliverance to the enjoyment of God. That the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ revealed in the scriptures is given so that we might enjoy the fullness of God. And that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which was administered today, was ordained to nourish us up into this fullness. Before we consider our text, let us consider its context. Paul is telling us what the purpose of his ministry is and what the purpose of ministry is in general. Verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Have you read the epistles of Paul? Have you seen the depth and the wonder, the accuracy? I've never read any systematic theology that comes anywhere close to the theology of Paul in Ephesians, in Hebrews. Such a great wealth of knowledge has been given to this man. For what purpose? So that he can flex on somebody? So that he can win a debate? No. It's for you. So that you might know the mystery of the gospel. That you might know that which was hidden from the beginning of the world. And that you might be built up to enjoy the fullness of God. This mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What a great mystery indeed. You see, as you read through the gospels, the hardness of the Jews' heart. You see, yes, it's revealing. It's amazing in a sense, because every time you read a prophecy about the New Testament, about the coming of Christ, there's almost always appended to it a prophecy of the coming of the Gentiles. You see it time and time again. Read through Isaiah, you'll see what I'm talking about. Read through Jeremiah, you'll see it there as well. But you see, the Jews, when they read it as though a veil was covering their eyes, and they could not see what was so plainly there. And such is the case with all of us as well. You see, without the work of the Holy Spirit working saving faith in our hearts, we cannot read these scriptures to any profit. It will not be the voice of our beloved unto us. It will only be that terror of the law. And what a great mystery indeed this is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ in by the gospel. In the previous chapter, chapter 2, he wrote wonderfully how God has taken away the law of commandments contained in ordinances, destroying the wall of partition that separated Jew and Gentile. And he came and preached peace unto you which were afar off and unto them that were nigh. And he says, unto us Gentiles. I don't think there's any Jews in here. Maybe there is. I wish Marilyn were here. He came and preached peace unto you that were afar off. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Yes, you see, this bounty of God that is given to us through the work of Jesus Christ was not only for the Jews, but for all the earth. Not only to save them, but as we will see, but also to give them the bounty of his goodness that they might enjoy him. This was given to the Apostle Paul. He was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And hear this, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. You need to know more and more about Jesus. So that when you know more, you'll comprehend more and more of his love. You see, when you become a Christian, you might be thinking, okay, I'm saved, and now Jesus tolerates me. I'm still dirty and ugly and sinful, but no. You see, when you get to learn more of what's contained in the scriptures, when you see in Zephaniah 3 that he rejoices over you, he sings over you, when you see in Isaiah 62 that as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so he rejoices over you, you get to see, no, it's not just a toleration, it's a rejoicing, it's a love. But if you didn't know that, you wouldn't be able to comprehend the love or begin to comprehend the love that's in him. And this is the purpose of gospel ministry. The ministers of the gospel, those that are called to preach, are called to store up in themselves the unsearchable riches of Christ so they can show you, so that you can be built up, so that you can bask in his love. What a great mystery. You see, the Jews may have thought incorrectly that they only were the precious people of God. Oh, of course. Of course, we are the people of God. Of course, he rejoices in us. We're the apple of his eye because we're the special nation. No, you're not the special nation. Only by the grace of God they were. But you see, this plan of redemption was not only for them, but for all the earth. And they were to be a light from whence it would shine. And it was not by genealogy, but by the grace of God. And now, that which was hidden is now made manifest. The Gentiles should be partakers of this wonderful mystery. Verse 12. In Jesus Christ our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. You see, when your knowledge of the gospel begins to grow, you see you're not just tolerated. It's not just that your debt has been forgiven. Oh, yes, if Biden were to cancel your debt, you'd be very happy, wouldn't you? But not only is your student loan debt forgiven, but now you get open access to all of his bank account. It's all yours. That's what's going on here in the gospel. Not just debt forgiven, but open access. The platinum card is yours now. All the riches, all of his bounty, you've been made a fellow heir with Christ. Wherefore, verse 13, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He was constrained by the love of Christ for his people. He was willing to go through whatever tribulations were set before him in order that he might build up the people of God. Am I in chains? Am I in prison? Am I getting lashed and stoned? It's nothing to me. Why? So that you might have the fullness of the unsearchable riches of Christ revealed unto you. And now our text. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's so happy. Although he's going through tribulations, although he's afflicted, although he's in bonds and imprisoned, being persecuted, shipwrecked, stoned, whipped 39 times upon his back. But he has this unshakable joy. Not a fleeting joy. Not a joy that comes with temporal success or temporal things or temporal relationships. But a joy rooted in something eternal. That the church of God is being built up in the joy that was purchased for them by the blood of Jesus Christ. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Christian, you are not to be hanging on by a thread all the days of your life. Am I a Christian? Am I not? Oh, I'm so sinful. Oh, I'm so weak. That's okay to be in that place. But the purpose of the ministry of the word and sacrament is to build you up in your strength so that you can walk with that boldness that we saw. So you can come boldly. So that you can live joyfully in Christ. That's the purpose. That's why we don't stop and say, okay, you've got your ticket to heaven. We're done here. No. Are you strong? Are you joyful? Are you basking in the unsearchable riches of Christ? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, you've got to be rooted and grounded. You can't be on shaky ground. That's the purpose of the preaching. That's the purpose of the sacrament, to ground you in the love of Christ. You see, when you have all these doubts, does Jesus really love me? You're going to be shaky and unstable. You might be like we've been reading in Malachi, how they said, it is vain to serve God. And when you're in that state, you're ripe to get sifted by Satan. But if you're rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, you'll be firm, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. To know that which passeth knowledge? Isn't that a contradiction? No. You see, that you're never going to reach perfection in this life. But we read in the next chapter that the ministry is ordained to build you up unto perfection. Your pastor's always going to preach to you, no matter how low or high you might be in your spiritual state, until you come to that full stature of the perfect man, Jesus Christ. It's not something that's going to be attained in this life, but it's something that we're always working towards. We're never to be complacent or content even where we are with respect to our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always to be advancing from faith to faith, from glory to glory. That is why there's always got to be desperate preaching. Okay, your soul is safe, great. But are you advancing? Are you experiencing the joy that is talked about here in the scriptures? That is why your soul is to be nourished with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ so that you might be strengthened. Parents, which of you feeds your children just to satiate their hunger for that day and they're on their own? No, I don't think so. You wouldn't be going to Costco so many times a week if that were the case. You're building them up so that they'll grow up and be strong. So they'll grow up and be well-rooted, steadfast, unmovable. And so it is that you are to be fed with the word of God. So it is. That is the reason that the gospel preaching has been ordained for you. Hear what God says. Hear the purpose of the ministry that he describes in Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Your pastor is given to you to feed you with knowledge and with understanding. That is why those that are called to the ministry are called to a burdensome, arduous task of studying. Studying not to flex on anybody, not to win any debates, not to be swelled up, but to be a servant. There's no room for boasting. What cooler boasts because it's the vessel whereby the drinks at the party are served? It's nothing to boast about. You're just a servant when you're a preacher. And it's all for the building up of you, church. Who is greater, the servant or the one served? The one served, sure. For your building up. See what love Christ has for you. In the next chapter, the next page over, you can see the end for which the ministry was ordained. In verse 8, from chapter 4 of Ephesians. Wherefore he saith, this is speaking of Christ, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Of the fullness of Christ. You see, these offices that are in the church, the apostles, the prophets that wrote the scriptures for us, their assistants, the evangelists, and now the ones that we still have today, the pastors and the teachers, they are here as gifts for you, as tokens of his love, so that you might be fed with knowledge and with understanding, so that you might be built up unto perfection, so that you might enjoy the fullness of God. In John chapter 1, we see how it is that we are able to have access unto this fullness. We see that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. You see, this fullness of God comes to us by way of a mediator. The divine nature and the human nature are joined in the person of Christ. And we are joined to Christ. Therefore, out from him flows the fullness of grace upon grace. Therefore, we have access unto the beatitude of God, the blessedness, the happiness of God. Did you know that God is perfectly, unchangeably, immutably happy all the time? Nothing can shake him. Nothing can move him. He's always happy. Why? Because he's perfect. Because he delights in that which is good, which is himself. He is the blessed. That's why he's called the blessed God in the scriptures. That's why it says in Psalm 16, in his presence is fullness of joy. Now, if indeed our chief end is to glorify and enjoy God, how can we come to do so? Only through the work of a mediator giving us access to that fullness, which otherwise would be hid away from us. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to that beatitude of God, to that blessedness, that happiness of God, so that we also can be happy in him. so that we can enjoy him who otherwise would have terrified us. The preaching of the word, the administration of the sacrament, which is a visible word, is that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You need to know just how much Jesus loves you. We can't truly comprehend it, as it says, it passes knowledge. That's why every week you've got to get more and more. You've got to go into the dregs of the scriptures. You got to get into the Zephaniahs. You've got to get into the back parts of Isaiah and Jeremiah and the minor prophets and see just how much it is that he loves you, so that you'll be filled up with the fullness of God. This sacrament is to nourish you up towards that fullness. We've come with much preparation, but we must not only prepare, we must also digest what we received and discern if indeed we have received anything. The efficacy of the sacrament is not tied to the time of its administration. It is possible that perhaps at the moment of receiving, you did not receive that benefit, but yet the Lord Jesus will still, or may still, make it effectual unto you for your building up and nourishment. But you must examine yourself and see, why is it, if indeed this is the case, I didn't receive the benefit as I ought to have. Examine that. Repent of it. Also have faith that the Lord Jesus sustains you even in your weakness. You remember how the great Reformation of Josiah, how they had the Passover like it was never done before, yet there were still some faults in it. And the Lord had mercy upon them. He will still have mercy upon you. Be filled up. Be fed. Be nourished in your souls with the person and the work of Jesus Christ, his body broken, so that your body would not only not be broken, but be glorified, be transformed from a state of mortality into a state of everlasting life. What body pains are you going through? You older men, as you're getting older, you're remembering how you used to be strong, and now you're not so strong anymore. Now you can hardly handle wrestling with your wife. But you're looking forward to that time when you're going to be made strong perfectly in Jesus Christ. That your body will be made conformable unto his body. That all death will be taken away. Have you suffered the loss of a loved one, a parent, a brother, a child? All death will be conquered at his feet. The last enemy to be defeated is death. And that is through his conquering of death at the cross and the proclamation of that victory at the resurrection, so that you might bask in the fullness of God, to be filled with that fullness. And that great day, when the spirits of just men are made perfect, and then they're united to their bodies at the resurrection, and then we will be ever present with the Lord to behold him face to face. We see now as in a glass darkly, but then face to face. Oh, what great fullness of joy. What splendor of love awaits you, saint, if indeed you are a saint that has placed his faith in Jesus Christ. That you would behold the glory of God, that which Moses longed for. Show me thy glory. But he said, there shall no man see my face and live. You see, in this life, we're redeemed, but yet we still have indwelling sin that's being worked out of us in the work of sanctification. But when that sanctification is complete and we are glorified, when all corruption is taken away, then we will behold him face to face. This is it. This is what makes the Christian life worth it. Not just deliverance out of hell, but that you might have that beatific vision of God, that blessed sight of God. And then you can partake of the happiness, the overflowing happiness that he has perfectly, abundantly in himself. And that you'll be made happy. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody's seeking it in one way or another in this life. But there is no true happiness apart from enjoying God himself. And that is indeed why we were made. That is indeed why Christ came, to reconcile us unto God. We might have a share of his bounty, of his beatitude. That is why he ordained the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments, so that you would come to know the unsearchable riches of Christ, that week in, week out, in your private daily reading as well, you would continually be built up more and more, seeing how deep the love of Christ goes, that he would come into a sinful nation, that he would come out of the line of prostitutes even, of wicked kings, of good kings, of godly kings who made silly mistakes or wicked mistakes, that he would even be born out of David taking the wife of Uriah, sanctifying all that. All this history, all this 39 books of the Old Testament, which you slug through in your Bible reading, it's worth it because there's the unsearchable riches of Christ in here. There's the fullness of God waiting for you in here. Eat and be satisfied. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee because thou hast set a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that we might be filled up to the brim, be satisfied in you through the work of Jesus Christ. And now, O Lord, indeed fill us up. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might go in this week rejoicing in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, that we might indeed continue to grow in the knowledge of his unsearchable riches, in the knowledge of his love, that you would sustain us and build us up in our most holy faith. Do this thing for Jesus Christ, thy only beloved Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.